Hey guys, it's the hardcore legend Mick Foley here, and I need to call a quick timeout, a brief timeout, because I wanted to tell your listeners what I have been telling Foley is Pod listeners for a while now about all the cool things happening over on adfreeshows.com.
A brand new series has arrived on Ad Free Shows. Top of the Card unpacks everything you need to know in the wrestling trading card space, and we're starting with the granddaddy of them all. The 1982 Wrestling All-Stars Series A set.
Now, this set was not exclusive to any one territory at the time, as we were still right at the tail end of the territory era of professional wrestling. So it was basically a who's who in professional wrestling, with card number one being Andre the Giant. Others included in the set include Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Ted DiBiase, and others.
20 years ago, Eric took on Stone Cold in the main event on Raw. But the real main event was the confrontation that happened backstage before the show.
Now, the next week, I'm sitting in this chair, and that same guy, I don't think I had said a word to him that day. I don't think I had seen Rick up until the point he came through that door. And he's, you know, telling me to get up, get out of the chair. And he's so pissed off, he's bleeding. I'm on the phone, and he's got blood running down his chin because he bit his lip. He was so mad, he bit the inside of his mouth.
He's got blood on a backstage confrontation.
I hadn't even gotten out of the chair yet.
Ad Free Shows members got to sit shotgun alongside Kevin Nash and Click This co-host Sean Oliver as they watch back some of the worst matches in history. None more so than the Yeti.
Randy, now
the mummy is not Frankenstein. You don't walk with your arms straight out.
With
like
the arms out, right? You know, a Yeti is also not a mummy. But I don't know. Was it Jim Herd who was here? Well, whose brainchild was this?
Who gives a fuck?
That's just a small taste, a sampling, if you will, of what we have waiting for you, with four levels to choose from. Four. See for yourself why Ad Free Shows is the best value in wrestling today. Sign up now, right now, at adfreeshows.com. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't know?
It's that time, so come on down. We're walking in the dog pound. Rodeo Double G. Legacy that's long. That's the legend of the Armstrongs. Questions get answered. Oh, you didn't know. Let's start the show.
Welcome back to the show. And it's Road Dogg and Cassio.
Oh, Lord.
You're listening to.
Oh, you didn't know.
What
it's just up? It's just us again laughing as we come on the air.
Dog, what is up?
Man, I'm happier than a pig and poop. And everything's been going so well, but. I tell you what, it's ramping up. It's business is a booming, and it's ramping up because it's mania season. And I have a feeling I may have been spoiling our topic for the day.
Mania season.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we get into that, though, here's
you
what
can
I
tell
saw
by the wrestlers' bodies. By the way,
oh, they start getting cut. Bro.
Oh, jacked.
They start getting lean. My
stacked, friend. Jacked, relaxed.
Which means they're not going to eat this. I saw this week. I wanted to know your opinion on it. Okay.
Oh, ooh, I'm hungry.
Lewin's Ice Cream just put out ranch flavored ice cream.
Nope, not going to do it. Not Barb and I. Not, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. Yeah. Nope. No sir. No sir.
But are you a ranch guy?
I am a ranch guy. I dip pizza in ranch. I dip wings in ranch. You know what I mean? But.
Ice cream.
I'm not eating ice cream with ranch. Come on now.
Last year they put out macaroni and cheese ice cream.
See, this is what, and I'll just go out on a limb. We might need some type of war because people got too much time on their hands.
We just need to be brought back in line.
Come back. Just put our feet back on the earth.
A little too comfortable.
Just sex for a second. You know what I mean? Like, hey, wake up, everybody. You go like, oh, God, okay. And it's basically just reshooting the movie Wolverine. Just, you know what I mean?
We need to tighten up a little bit.
That's all. Just tighten up. Tighten up,
love
folks.
All the countries.
We're not putting ranch in ice cream.
They're doing ranch ice cream. They got everything situated over there.
Bomb them.
A little too comfy. Here we go.
Ooh, that's disgusting.
Like, like you mentioned, dog, we are now in the midst. If this is real time, if you're listening to this close to when it comes out, we are in the countdown to WrestleMania, just a few days away from the biggest two-night extravaganza.
The showcase of the immortals. Like, it's 2 nights, and I don't know what matches are going on, what night or whatever, but I don't care because I'm tuning in for 2 nights. I would imagine they won't be marathon evenings, but man, what a incredible card. And so far, I feel like it's just going to be a visual spectacle, all to itself. Then you're going to have some great stories culminating and continuing and maybe starting, there. Those 2 evenings, you know what I mean? So I look, I'm excited about it. I feel like the WWE universe is excited about it. And here we are talking about it. So I guess we are.
You're going to be busy next week. Of course, it'll be Mania week as of this recording. And so there's so much WWE stuff around WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get your thoughts on the card because we do have a WrestleMania topic today.
Because of the wonderful thing. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Wonderful thing, you guys.
You're off to see the Mania.
It's beginning to look a lot like Mania.
Oh, man. And it is around the building, around the office, too, where we're moving out and moving into a new office. It was crazy last week. So, yeah. We're moving and shaking. And the huge, in the lobby of the office, there's a huge banner, and it's the WrestleMania thing with the Los Angeles or Hollywood sign and all the talent walking through. It's really cool, well done art, and it's all the stars. Really cool thing in the lobby there. It's probably the printout of the cover of the magazine that you get or the book you get, the Mania book. That's probably what the cover will be.
You mentioned it before. Hey, you got live television every single week. You got to keep going, multiple shows as the company wide. But there's got to be a little extra pep in everybody's step when WrestleMania starts getting close. Even though you're supposed to always be on your A game, still, there's got to be a little buzz in the air.
This is the one. And if anybody tells you different, they're just being dishonest. You know what I mean? It's this is the one, and you can look. There's 4 big ones still, and it'd be interesting to see this year exactly how many they end up doing in the following year, and how that ends up, what that model looks like from a business standpoint. But as far as premium live events, it's WrestleMania. You know what I mean? It's so big. It's they've made it 2 nights now, and still just the very top tier of the talent get on there. You know what I mean? Not everybody earns a spot on there, and so it's heartbreaking for some, and career moment making for others. You know what I mean? So very cool. I'd like to ask you personally, as a fan, what was your WrestleMania moment, the biggest thing you remember and you think about? Do you have one?
I still say one of my favorite matches, if not my favorite match of all time, is Hardys versus Edge and Christian and the Dudleys, and they all had their lackeys come in, and it was just, it was Mania. I mean, that was Mania to me. There's moments for that. I know as a kid, Andre and Hogan and all that good stuff, but
hey, that trio of tag teams that you're talking about raised the bar in tag team wrestling. They changed the game in tag team wrestling. And I've talked about that before because we were, you know, this was right on the end of New Age Outlaw stuff. This is like the new era of stuff is coming in. And those 3 tag teams did that TLC stuff. And man, it changed the wrestling game. And like I said, it raised the bar. And that's a bar I wasn't willing to try to negotiate.
I want to climb the 30-footer and jump out of the ring.
It seems like gravity affects me differently, or at least it does in my head. I don't mind the falling. It's that sudden stop at the end that bothers me.
Me and my wife have done obstacle races or something like that. When I go downhill,
wait, let's stop right there.
Why is that?
Stop saying that. When your wife does what?
Obstacle races.
Yeah, but you haven't done that. But she does obstacle races.
The Warrior Dash where you get the fuzzy hat. It's easy. You get a turkey leg at the end. You walked half of it.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
Well, truth be told, I'm interested.
I knew you'd been on the
That's a heck
leg.
Of an incentive to get that turkey leg.
My favorite, anytime we've ever did a 5K or anything, she's like, I'm just going to keep with you. And I'm like, no, you're not. She's like, that's just a fun run. I'm like, not for you. I know what's about to happen. Yeah. Just run when we start. And she's like, no, I'm going to stay with you.
Yeah, just go.
They fired off. We go about a quarter of a mile. And she's like, wait, is this your pace the whole time? Yeah. Walking is my pace. That was, and then she just leaves me in the dust.
Is this a 5K? I thought you said walkabout. I thought this was...
What are we doing? I got a stick. I got a walking stick.
I'm with you. Yeah. But
anytime there's like trails involved, when I go downhill, boy, I'm flying. And she gets nervous. She's like, you are flying downhill. I'm like, but I can do that. That's where I got speed.
Yeah.
I fall faster than you. You know, it's like you said, gravity's different.
Oh, and it hurts too.
Uphill, I got nothing for you. But downhill.
I'll never forget. I don't know if you remember the dumpster match. When there was a ladder set up, and Billy and I think Terry Funk were on it, and I ended up pushing it over. I was supposed to be the one up there on the ladder and not Billy. And I got up there and I looked and I said, I ain't doing that. And I got down and Billy called me every name, but Brian and he said, I'll do it then. You know what I mean? And so he did it. And then if you think about all the highlight, you remember that shot of it.
Yes.
Because it was one of the things they showed so many times. And so I was like, oh, God, I wish I wasn't such a sissy. I wish
you
I wasn't so scared.
You could have been in the reels,
I would have
baby.
Been on all the highlights.
Incredible.
Oh, well.
So Mania, you know, you never know what's going to be the moment. You never know. Any of the matches could have the moment. Any of it could be.
And they all... They all seem to are going to give you one. Like,
yes.
I mean, we're going to go through the card, I know, but like just thinking about it, like there's a potential for 5 moments a night, if not 7. You know what I mean? Like it's of things that will be talked about the next day. And look, there always is, but I think this year is going to be. So I think it's going to be creatively special for the fans. And I say that from having zero knowledge of any of the creative. I just think. It's going to be a culmination of this new, I know everybody hates the word regime, but this new leadership and the leadership of the creative content. So I think it's going to be a crowd pleaser one way or another, you know.
Well, let's get into it. You don't have to pick winners. I'm not asking that, but just let's just get a quick rundown of the card and get your quick thoughts on everybody on there. Start, like you said, we don't know when.
Go slow because I might pull a hammy.
We don't know when they're going. This is not in any order or anything. I'm just running them. This is how we came up on them. Edge taking on Finn Balor. Fergal McDivitt. L in a cell, baby.
L in a cell.
How about this,
I mean,
man?
What I love about this is it was the culmination of almost a year-long story. It's long-term storytelling at its finest. And it's a story that's culminating. It's not just because it's a pay-per-view every year we have to get inside a cell and fight. It warrants inside Hell in a Cell. And man, what a line when Finn Balor said, I've been to hell. They kicked me out because hell couldn't handle my demons. Holy mackerel, I got goosebumps repeating it. But I memorized it because I thought that's one of the coolest lines I've ever heard on a television wrestling show. But I don't know why Dominic D'Angelo is cussing in the sidebar chat.
He's super pumped about Fergal.
Oh, he's just jazzed. Yeah. He's definitely jazzed about Fergal McDivitt. And he wore, thank goodness, Dom wore his I'm a Fergal McDivitt guy to Philly when they went. I think it was
By the Philly. Way, I'm going to take $50 of my own money.
Mm-hmm.
I will PayPal or Venmo whoever gets the biggest Fergal McDivitt poster on wrestling.
I'll tell you what, I'll do 50 also. Okay. So that will be, that's $100.
We need a Fergal McDivitt poster.
It can be, I'm a Fergal McDivitt guy. The poster could read that.
Especially if you can get, we need Finn to tear it up. You know, do one of the rips. Hey, if you get it clear, and you help us get a screenshot. But if you can get it and prove it was there, we're going to get you gonna get you some cash.
A C-note.
Fergal McDivitt needs to get a WrestleMania moment, baby.
That's all. That's all we're saying.
Becky Lynch going to be teaming with Lita and Trish Stratus. How about that?
I love damage control. Yeah, I love this. I think it's a match made in heaven, and I really do. I think it's perfect for damage control. It's perfect for Becky to kind of bring back the nostalgic team and kind of be the leader of that. And I don't mean that in any way. I just feel like she's the one that is here every week and she's bringing it, and her and Lita already won the tag titles. And so, I don't know. I'm excited about this match. Look, I love when you put a bunch of stars in the ring and sit and find out, you know, you watch it and find out what happens, and they'll make some moments. I'm sure there'll be some cool backflips and moonsaults. And
by the way, while we're here, I don't know if anybody can sell better than Dakota Kai right now. When you hit her, it is like you've pulverized her with a sledgehammer. And it makes everything so much better.
I also want to say, specifically because you brought her name up, one of the toughest women I've seen. And I know there's a lot of tough women in wrestling nowadays. She gets flung around. Hey, her and Mia Yim had a match, last woman standing in NXT. If you want to see two women fight and bust open the hard way, and I mean, go watch that match. They scared me to death for 18 minutes. And I mean, it was horrifying for me to watch, but they were beating the slop out of each other. And that's a testament to them and how committed they are and how much their heart's in it.
I saw Dakota at where the damage control came to the show when they came through Huntsville. And there was multiple moments where I went, I mean, well, she's dead. I mean, why did y'all just kill her in front of the whole crowd like this? But
they frowned
also,
on that.
Yeah. Also, Becky winning the titles has got to be just a cool moment. You got the history. You're bringing back a legend.
Yeah.
You're getting to say forever. You won the straps with them.
Yeah.
Just this has to be an ultimate.
I mean, we
cool
call them
moment.
Titles. If you want to call them straps, you can. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We won the titles. But had to be a cool, super cool moment.
Well, I mean, for me as a viewer, it was, because like I said, I'm not in those creative circles, but to watch that and see that, and I definitely didn't think I was going to see that, you know what I mean? So it was definitely one of those moments where I'm watching Raw and they caught me, and you know what I mean? And I watched it the other night, pillar to post, 3 hours, and not one moment did I get bored or walk away. It went by really fast. And I thought, man, that's a testament to the writers and the new creative direction, because it used to be a real task to watch. I know I'm the one being long-winded here, but let's keep going through this.
I am too. I'm chiming in. We're getting excited about Mania.
It's Mania, man. I am excited.
You know, we're just three in, and we're just now getting to, you know, Austin Theory defending the U.S. title against the face. The run's the place, baby. John Cena,
look,
Peacemaker, baby.
Look, Peacemaker, be damned, because that's a great character, right? And he's great at it. Like, he's even good on the FICO score commercials or whatever.
He's riding a cow around. He's good.
Excuse me. He's just doing great. The fact that he would come back here, and I, a lot of people, I'm sure, are conflicted about this. The only thing I'm conflicted about is who's going to win, because I'm honestly, and I don't want to know, I want to watch it, but I'm honestly don't know who's going to win this. And I could make an argument for both. And so it's so, I can understand wanting to get some more out of Cena if you could. So I get, you know what I mean? I get, if his schedule is open this year, you dang sure want him around. We sold that Boston out as soon as you added his name to it. Mm-hmm. I know it's his hometown, but man, that's, you know, business is business. I want to see who's going to win. I'm sorry I was so long-winded.
And then if Austin wins, buddy, what a
feather in his cap, right?
Yeah, incredible.
Because Cena said it cut and dry. You lose everything. And he's right. Like, that's pretty devastating. If he comes in, buries you in a promo, and then beats you at WrestleMania, you got a hill to climb, kid.
Super exciting. Seth Rollins and Logan Paul facing off.
Seth freaking Rollins.
Two incredible entertainers.
Two incredible entertainers and two incredible athletes. And so for me, it's, it's a little, you know, Seth will go up to the top. Seth will do flip-de-doo-dahs, and Seth will springboard, and Seth will. So this is going to give you a dynamic that Roman Logan Paul could not give you. And so it's more of a match in athleticism and chemistry.
Yeah.
And I don't care who wins. I just want to watch it.
Battle of the Big Man, Brock Lesnar, and almost.
Mm, I want to watch this one too. And for a couple different reasons. One, I also don't know the finish here, just because of scenarios and how it goes, and so I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm interested to see. I'm also interested to see if Brock gets angry and goes shoots behind him and dumps him on his head a couple times. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see. There is a lot of potential for that. Yeah. And I want to see if that happens and if it can happen and how it looks when it does. And I pray for everyone's health.
This, even without a win, either way it goes, this is a big match for almost.
For almost. Yeah. And look, let me say this too. And a lot of people may think, oh, this is old school thinking, Barnum and Bailey, but almost as an attraction. Yeah, no matter gigantic. What you say,
incredible.
He's taller than Andre, taller than Big Show, an inch taller, I think, than Khali. I'm not sure of that.
Yes.
But also his, I don't know how other to say it, but like his body to scale, he's like a perfect size human, only blown up 3 more feet. You know what I mean? And so, like, he's just as a different kind of giant than we ever have had. And he is remarkably promotable. Anytime you see him in public, it's a sight to see. And to see him walk down the aisle is a sight to see. I'm interested to see what we do here at Mania and see in which direction we go. You know what I mean? That's cool to see to me. So
go to the WWE YouTube. Just their stare down is getting tons and tons
and
of clicks.
Their stare down on YouTube broke the internet. And also the just the dead gum size difference when they
incredible.
Did stare down was like, because Brock's a man.
Yeah.
He's all man and a yard wide. And I mean, that's a fact. And when he stepped up to that dude, it was a full head and shoulders above, you know, and it was like, that's remarkable. That's remarkable.
Bianca Belair defends the Raw Women's title against Asuka. Could be match of the night here, man.
Yeah, it definitely could be because, look, Asuka, to me, while she can't even speak that much of English and doesn't speak that much English on TV, she's one of the most charismatic female athletes in the WWE, and I've believed that since she got here. I wasn't familiar with her prior to her coming to the US, but man, since she's been in NXT and I've just watched her and she has such a natural organic charisma. And so it's going to be interesting to see because I've never seen an athlete as round other than Billy Gunn. I've never seen a well-rounded athlete like Bianca Belair.
Yeah.
She's an incredible specimen. You know what I mean? Like of humanity. Like she can outlift everybody, outrun everybody, outdo. She's just a fitness specimen. You know what I mean? And that's just incredible. Who and how she is. Montez the same way. You know what I mean?
And then two larger than life characters and incredible athletes in their own right. Charlotte Flair defends the SmackDown Women's title against Rhea Ripley. Buddy, this is, I mean, I don't know who the heel is or the baby face, and I don't know what's about to happen in this match.
Yeah, well, to me, this is, it's going to be hard-hitting, I think.
Yes.
And I think Rhea has grown up a lot in the past, 3 years or whatever, since she I don't even remember how long ago it was, when she wrestled Charlotte the first time at Mania, so... Man, I think this is a different, totally. And look, Charlotte's a different person too. She's grown in psychology and her body and what she's, you know, her limits and her abilities. And so she's grown tremendously. It's going to be twice the match they had before. And this one, I don't know the finish to this one either. You know what I mean? Charlotte came in and they put it right on her and they're getting to here. You know what I mean? I don't know. There's so many things you could do and there's so, you know, I know people always go, well, the only thing you should do is this, this, this. Yeah. Well, that's the only thing you think you should do, but there's 50,000 other ideas too. You know what I mean? Like it's unlimited. And so that's, I'm excited to see what they do because these two to me, like I mentioned, Well, look, to me, you got two of the finest women's title matches in the business today with the last two we just talked
Incredible.
About. Incredible. Think about the four individual talent in that match, those two matches. It's going to be, I mean, off the charts, both of them. And I think, I don't know. I'm not going to predict, but I'm a huge Rhea Ripley fan.
I'm with you. I think it's going to be hard-hitting. A lot of monster. This looks to be stiff right here.
Yeah. And I think rightly so. I think if it was anything other than that, if they start, you know, pretty wrestling, then I'm gonna go boo. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think they're gonna come out and lock up, and it's gonna be two bulls locking up. You know.
Finally, last but not least, Roman Reigns defends the undisputed WWE Championship against the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. Either way it goes, first of all, just an incredible road. For Mr. Cody Rhodes to be here.
Yeah. The Rhodes Road. You know,
and then we'll see what happens.
In the Bible, there's called what we call the Roman Road, but this has definitely been the Rhodes Road. And so, what a beautiful and perfect build. What a beautiful feeling. A beautiful time it feels like for Cody. So I'm really interested in. You know, business decisions aren't always popular ones. I'm interested to see what decision is made. Look, that's why I want to watch this, and I think I'm not alone here. Excuse me. I don't know the finishes. I want to see them, and I don't want to be mad about them when I see them. I want to be happy about. Oh, what's that mean for Monday? You know what I mean? Like, what is that going to bring me? Next, like, not like, oh, they ruined it, killed WrestleMania. No, they ruined it every, you know what I mean? Like, no, they just didn't do what you wanted them to do.
Yeah.
Suck it up, Buttercup, and tune in Monday and see where we're going. You know what I mean? That's how I feel anyway. And I know it's me speaking from the other side of the fence, so it ain't fire.
Just as a fan watching this, and just to be honest, this is the first time, and I don't know when, but this is the first time in a while that I really think somebody has a chance to go over Roman Reigns. Just he's been so dominant, and there's been some matches where you're like, I know this is going to be a good match. I want to watch this match, but I really think Roman's probably going to win. This is those ones where I'm like, man, I can see this flopping
right
here.
Yeah, I could see
which
Cody.
Gives it that. I know it's going to be a great match.
Yeah, but now either way.
I don't know how it's going to end.
And that's the part that's intriguing to me.
Yes. Yes.
And is the ride. And so I'm not as concerned about who lays on top of who when the second bell rings. I want to be taken on that ride, and I want to not know what the end of it looks like. You know what I mean? I want to be in a tunnel going upside down, and then I want to go, ah, oh God. And then we go, oh my God, so-and-so won. That was awesome. Or God darn, I thought so-and-so was going to win. And I hope they pop me three times with false finishes. You know what I mean? I hope for all of the above. And I want to be taken on that ride.
Well, we're just over a week away. It is, of course, April 1st and 2nd, Los Angeles, Hollywood. Can't wait to watch the two-night extravaganza. But today, we're going to move on to a different WrestleMania. We're going to be discussing what I have to think, and I'm going to ask you, Dog, is this your biggest WrestleMania moment? We'll get to it. WrestleMania 15.
Well, 15?
In Philadelphia.
Hey, what number is this one we're about to do?
707.
You don't know either, good. I think it's 38. Is
30,
it
30? I was going to say, 37 maybe.
37 or 30. Well, 9.
39, okay.
It was another odd number, though. You were very close spiritually.
39.
So, what were we talking about? Oh, 39. So, man.
This makes all of us old, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm old. Well, I've been old.
25 years.
Is that what it is? You did the math?
Oh, by the way, this is the 50th episode of Oh, You Didn't Know.
We were really this late into the show. We're just bringing it up. Also, the 50th, anyway.
Also, the 13th, where I've wore this shirt. It's the 4th that my dogs have barked in the background.
Yep.
So we got a lot of details going on. Let's jump into this, dog. Dog,
so, as the so rest- 15, WrestleMania 15. Okay, yep. That was a long time ago.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wall.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Dog, let's take a time out to tell everyone about our friends over at Sleep Me. Yeah, that's the new home for Chili Sleep, dog.
Sleep Me.
Dog, me and you both are members of the Sleep Me family. They have changed our life.
Yes, Sleep Me fan club. That's me.
Bringing you the same great sleep that Chili Sleep offered, just under a new name. And Sleep Me makes the coldest sleep systems available. They create the environment that meets the body's natural need for lower core temperatures, promoting deeper restorative sleep. Here's the deal. Here's all that means. Let me tell you straight up.
Break it down.
Your body likes to be cool, because if you're like me, I used to wake up in the middle of the night like I was fighting a grizzly bear.
Oh,
I'm
God.
Sweating. I'm kicking the covers off.
Just
I'm taking
ugly,
off all clothes.
Really, yeah. You're hideous looking.
I'm punching my wife, sorry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she deserves
it. It's not a good thing, okay?
She didn't.
Because my body wants to be cool. Your body wants to be cool.
Let me tell you the grossest thing. I was in a hotel room, and I'm sleeping, so I don't have my Sleep Me with me when I'm in my hotel room. Mm-hmm. And I sweated through my sheets. I have to get up. I have to get a towel and lay the towel down.
Oh,
and
no.
nothing's more disgusting than laying back down with those cold, wet sheets. And look, that's why I love this product, because I hate that so much. It keeps me cool while I sleep. And I'm a hot sleeper, I would imagine, like you, Cassio.
Yes. Oh, I can't. And here's the deal. I don't know about your wife, dog.
Yeah.
My wife is a cold sleeper, so she likes 7 layers of blankets. She wants our HVAC on as heat as possible. Yeah. And I'm like, no, that ain't how I roll. I need it cold. But here's the best part. We've got that Sleep Me that covers the whole body, whole bed. She's got her side. She controls her side, her setting.
And your setting. Yeah, that's a marriage saver right there.
What are we talking about, man? Keep your bed at the perfect temperature for deep, cold sleep. And if you're on a schedule, you can even use their app and use everything. They've got that brand new Hyber AI, dog. I don't know if you've seen this with the Doc Pro Sleep System. That's the ultimate cooling power with that Doc Pro Sleep System. You pair it with the Sleep Me app, and you get real-time temperature adjustments based on your current sleep activity. That's how far in the future we are, my friend.
Yeah.
Hyber AI technology, the industry's first sleep tech that tracks and optimizes your sleep temperature in real time. You just go to sleep. It does all the work to keep you in that deep sleep. It's the best sleep of your life. You don't know how much sleep you're missing until you get the new Sleep Me system, dog.
Yep. A good night's sleep. Once you get that good, cool night's sleep, it's a game changer, I promise.
You can wake up and be the Intercontinental Champ. How about
maybe
that?
Maybe. I mean, I did.
Head over to sleep.me/dog.
D-O-G-G.
To learn more and save 25% off the purchase of any new Doc Pro, Uller, or Cube sleep system. This offer is available exclusively for Oh You Didn't Know with Road Dog listeners, and only for a limited time. That's sleep, S-L-E-E-P, S-L-E-E-P,
you got
dot
it.
Me, M-E, slash?
Slash D-O-G-G.
Dog, to take advantage of our exclusive discounts and wake up refreshed every single day. Sleep Me. You might have heard us talk about it as Chili Sleep. It's the same deal. Only a new name. Get that perfect sleep only at sleep.me/dog. And we want to thank Sleep Me for being a proud sponsor of Oh You Didn't Know.
Thank you very much, Sleep Me. They continue to make everything about me, and I appreciate that.
As WrestleMania build begins, you're in rehab. We will discuss this more in detail.
Well, good. You know what I mean? I can't get in much trouble there, can I?
But as you return from rehab, dog, did you think you would still be on the WrestleMania card?
No, I'm not. Truth be told, I didn't think I would be on the card. No, but okay. I just came back and did whatever they told me to do. I was just trying to be a good boy at this point.
I love this, dog. Your return appearance on TV is March 1st in Cleveland. You're wearing a shirt that refers to rolling a joint, and you put a 420 sign. Oh. You point to the 420 sign in the crowd, and you were fresh out of rehab. So
I think we were talking. I think it was. That's what time it was.
Yeah, I think.
This was a taped
show. You're on the pre-show.
Yeah, this was the pre-show. And so, yes, I probably was not, I wasn't ready to come back. I went for 30 days, and I said, and then we had a conversation where he said, "You good?" I said, "Yes, sir." And there we go. And
Who had a conversation? Vince, Bruce, JR?
All of the above. Yeah, not at the same time, but like different times backstage and going through the day to this day. And it's just, you know, yeah, I'm ready to go. Here we go.
Were you in combative? Hey, I don't have a problem, so I'm just going to go through the motions?
No. I had gotten in trouble, and I was okay. Totally trying to save my job and said, "I'll do whatever you want me to do." And they said, "Well, we want you to go to rehab." And I said, "Okay." But it was, again, I wasn't. As far as recovery goes, I know we're talking about WrestleMania 15. I always seem to go off on a tangent, but I wasn't ready to quit doing drugs. I just wanted to keep my job. And right. So, I lost all of the above.
You were doing what you needed to do at that time.
Whatever I needed to do to keep the lights on, baby.
Oh, well, that night you work with The Rock for the WWF title. My man, yeah. They threw you back in the fire.
Well, now, I don't know if this was throwing me back in the fire or throwing me in the briar patch. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what they thought this was. I think they kind of look for once. I didn't remember I ever had a match with The Rock.
Are you serious?
I had no idea. No idea. When somebody told me that, I think Russo or not. One minute. I'm not sure who told me that. And I was like, no way. They're like, yeah.
Some of you may be wondering why you come back from rehab. You're working against the champion, but a minute in,
yeah,
Big Nasty, not yet the Big Show, comes out and headbutts you.
Yeah.
You try to fire up on Rock, but he catches you out of nowhere with a rock bottom. People's elbow, 1, 2, 3, super quick and easy.
Look, it takes a good man to beat me, but it don't take him long. So that's that's how that old story goes. And truth be told, I was in the ring with The Rock, and Big Show was on the outside. So I was in some good company, and, you know, I did the jizz. But I also thought, like, okay, this is – if they thought it was a punishment, I kind of didn't look at it that way because I've never looked at it like wrestling was real. So while I may be more energetic at some point, like, I was just happy to be back and thrown in the thick of something, and it was with The Rock and for the title, and you know what I mean? A newly acquired Big Show was out there, and so I don't know. It wasn't – I didn't think it was bad television. I didn't think it was bad for my character. You know what I mean?
You're wondering if it's a punishment or not. Do you think it's a – will he have any issues putting over the champ, or is it just to test you all around?
Maybe the testing, the punishment. I don't know if it was any of that, and I'm totally speculating. Yeah. Because, look, the segment before me could have gone heavy and we had to cut time. I don't remember the specifics. Of course I don't. I don't even remember we had the match. So I don't want to say they were punishing me or they were testing me or that, because I just don't know that. I see that if you want to think that, you know what I mean? Because I thought that at the time. But I literally, again, I thought, proper perspective, man. I'm in the ring with the champ, The Rock. You know what I mean? And even then, he was the biggest thing, or one of the two biggest things going. And like I said, Big Show was out there. It was a cool little moment for me.
Interesting part to me, and I'm probably not like the normal fan. I don't know. But me watching as a fan and thinking about that is, one, I think it speaks that he's back, and we're automatically giving him a title shot. They trust you. They know you're – hey, this is giving you instant credibility on the way back. Yeah. And you didn't just lose quick. we got outside interference, so you can just still say, "Hey, I'll you know,
oh,
big
yeah,
Nash,
yeah, yeah, yeah." They took care of
Barry.
Me.
Yeah,
yeah. And look, losing to The Rock ain't Barry and nobody anyway. You know what I mean? Like you can, he squashed me or whatever the guy, you know, whatever he jobbed you out. Like, all right, I was still on probably a highly rated television show with the champion, one of the hottest commodities they have. You know what I mean? And so whether they were, I could look at it like that. Oh, they're teaching me a lesson. Or I could look at it like you just said. Oh, they trust me to go out there and conduct business, even if it's 1 minute, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, in a proper way, and in a way that they could promote and go, hey, here's the champion tonight is facing this cat.
What's the conversations like with the other members of DX? Hunter, Billy, Pac at this time?
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's.
Welcome
it's the
back.
Same.
Let's
we
go.
Were, yeah, heck yeah, and that's what it always was. And look, they were, I'd say Hunter the most was influential and trying to talk to me and try to make sure I was good all the time. And so, you know, the rest of us were just kind of doing our thing. And at this time, also, we had kind of been apart for a long time, not a long time, but we had been apart for a minute here. So it wasn't like we were talking to each other a whole lot about. Our lives and stuff. You know what I mean? Like Billy was doing one thing. I was doing one thing, Kid and Kane or whatever, you know? So it was kind of like we were off doing our own things.
Al Snow comes out, says it's your fault that because you weren't at St. Valentine's Day Massacre, he, and I quote, had to do the J-O-B to B-O-B at the PPV, baby.
Oh, man.
He had to do the job to Bob at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's better if you just say job to Bob.
That's got Vince Russo written all over it, right?
Well, yeah, probably. And I don't know. I love this. I love Al. Yeah. I love working with Al, so it was a cool
but
direction
it's
for
it's
me
also
to go.
Acknowledging you were gone. Like, it... We're not just acting like it didn't happen. It's
saying, hey, you weren't there, man. Yeah. Where were you? And because, he was kind of a baby face. And I was kind of a baby face also. And so it was, he was like, you let me down, bro.
So at this point, it seems like you're being put back into the hardcore title picture. And while you've been doing that, Billy has been involved with the Intercontinental title picture with Ken Shamrock, Val Venus, and that whole storyline of Ryan Shamrock.
Yep.
Did you ever hear that Ken turned down the story that he would be dating his sister?
No. Okay. No, I never heard that. And it wasn't really his sister, right?
No, I think it was just the storyline.
Pretty sure. Pretty sure. But in the story, they wanted him to date his sister? I don't know. I can't look after. I've seen some, there's some Katie Vick stuff. There's some weird stuff.
I think Tracy Smothers did that. No, that was his daughter lately. He did that one.
Don't you blaspheme on here, Cassio.
He did a gimmick where he had his daughter. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
He's making out with her in the ring. You're all going to die.
I love it.
So after Al comes out and he cuts the promo on you, you dent a chair over his head. That was rude.
Hey, I don't care.
Three chair shots you hit him with, dog.
Yeah.
Snow laughs them off.
Yeah, well, that's Al. That's Al Snow for you.
And Holly comes out and gets a chair shot as well.
Yeah, I got one for you too, Bob.
You got them all. You said that's Al, so that makes sense if he's laughing off chair shots. I mean, that's the Al Snow character.
That's Al
Snow.
Like, whether you know, what are you going to do? I'll hit him harder next time. That's all, you know what I mean?
In the chair and he laughed.
It dented over his head, so I racked him with it.
Well, I'll keep it friendly here. I'll keep it PG.
Yeah, please.
You call him the P word.
I did on television with a live mic.
That you'd meet him in the parking lot, and it was reported that you were chastised for calling them kitty cats. Was that true?
So this is the only interesting story I think of this whole episode.
Okay.
No, so I do that. I'm at the top of the ramp and I do that and I probably shouldn't have, but I'm trying to be cutting edge and be whatever. I throw the mic down. I walk back through the curtain and Linda McMahon is standing right there. And I go, Miss McMahon, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I gotta go to the parking lot. I'm gonna go to the parking lot. And I just kept walking as fast as I could.
I went
to the parking. Yeah, I knew like right then, like, oh God. So I went to the parking lot and I thought all I was thinking about was, am I fired? Am I going to get fired? Am I going to? And then here they came out for the, in a couple of seconds, you know, or a couple of segments later, here came the guys at the parking lot. And all I could think about while they were beating the crap out of me was, I'm getting beat up and now I'm going to get fired after this. and I didn't, they came and did, I was chastised, but I totally deserved it. I knew it was coming. I knew you know what I mean? I knew it was, I pushed the envelope a little too far. And so I was told in no uncertain terms.
Did you know you were going to say it going in?
No, I had no idea. I just felt it and was charged and was, and so you can only, I can only imagine. When I went through that curtain and there she stood and I just went, oh God, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I gotta.
That was the worst feeling just seeing her. You knew you were in trouble.
Yeah. I knew I was in trouble.
So like you said, back from a commercial, you're in the parking lot yelling for him.
Yeah.
Holly meets you first and you brawl. Then another segment later, Snow blindsides both of you. You brawl into the street.
Don't think about fighting Bob Holly in a garage on concrete. And then all of a sudden Al Snow blindsides you, while you're fending for your life against Bob Holly.
I feel like they had a shirt. Let's go kill Road Dogg.
Yes. Yeah. Well, if they didn't, they should have.
You brawl into the street and cars had to slow down to avoid hitting you two.
Yeah.
Before the officials broke it up. Was it a shoot street and shoot cars?
Yes. It was totally.
How scary is this?
Well, it was scary, but we were watching too. You know what I mean? Like we would, even if we were locked up and fighting, I would go, watch out. Here's a car coming. You know what I mean? So we could get out of the way or whatever. So we were, you know, we're incommunicado. But yeah, it's not scary because your adrenaline's going 90 miles an hour.
You're loving it. It's actually, it's even making it better.
Yeah, you get up and you go, I think I broke my pinky finger.
Now, if we would have said, go fight in the street, you would have been like, wait, what?
And we'd
talk to
you. No, but we're halfway through halfway real fight. You know what I mean? We're doing everything real, but punching each other in the face. And it was, it's rugged. It was rugged with Bob Holly. And look, I'm not saying I was a feather pillow either. You know what I mean? I was young and hungry and my stuff was in there too. So we were giving and getting.
The next day at the next Raw and Heat tapings in Pittsburgh, you're working with Jeff Jarrett, your old
double
friend.
J. That's J-E-double-F. J-A-double-R-E-double-T. That's Jeff Jarrett.
He cuts you off from your intro and the match goes.
And I just did his whole intro on my podcast.
2 minutes.
Well, like I said, it takes a good man to beat me.
Owen Hart comes to ringside and attempts to interfere, but then the Blue Blazer interferes to beat up both Owen and Jarrett. How did that even happen? By the way, how does all that fit into 2 minutes?
Oh, that's easy. Wrestling doesn't. The match itself is secondary to the story or the angle or the, you know what I mean? Like you don't have to be in the ring for. You can start the match and a minute in, here comes Owen. You know what I mean? Like, you lock up, take me in a headlock, I'll shoot you in, give me a tackle, oh, I'll sell back to the corner, here comes Owen. You know what I mean? Owen does something, shoot reverse, trip my leg, whatever, here comes Blazer. Heck, we're 2 minutes in and we're done.
And to make it even more gaga, the Blazer unmask, and it's D'Lo Brown, what? Of all people!
He got around. D'Lo Brown.
D'Lo Brown. He got around. And later that night, you tape Raw and you're in a tag match. How hectic is your day when you're taping two TV matches?
No, hey, not hard because the first one was only 2 minutes. I didn't even break a sweat.
There we go. Do you get paid extra for two tapings in one day?
Yeah. Back in the day, it was different. The pay scales and everything was different. So yeah, I would get paid more.
You and Billy team up for the first time in a month to take on Holly and Snow. Ooh. You guys get the win when Snow hits Holly with head. I mean, who doesn't love head?
I mean, that's what Al was saying. I mean,
everybody loves head.
Well, you speak for yourself.
Did you enjoy working with head?
I enjoyed it thoroughly. Okay. Thoroughly.
You definitely. At this point,
it
or
was
maybe...
always weird working with. I want everybody to go back and watch our hardcore match where I beat him and pile drove him through the things in the street. I don't remember what show that was on, where it was, but I worked with Al and it's around Christmas time because he hit me in the face with a poinsettia, a potted plant. And I mean, he threw it like dadgum. He took a crow hop and everything and threw it like he was coming in from center field. Yes. And it hit me in the side of the head and just exploded. And you can, yeah, it was snowing outside. And I ended up pile driving him down through some pallets.
He's playing dodgeball with a poinsettia.
With a poinsettia, and I'm out. Believe you me, because he got me.
Well, by the way, if you know anything, they're poisonous to dogs. So you need to watch
I do.
That.
I do know that. That's why he was using it against me.
That's a dirty move.
That's a dirty trick. So I took his head.
At this point, do you enjoy working as tags more than singles?
So this was a weird. This was a weird time for me where I really. I was in the process of getting comfortable working singles matches and being a singles talent. But prior to this, when we first broke up, man, I didn't know if I could handle it as a singles competitor. And I didn't know from a performer standpoint what I was going to bring to the table. I just was insecure about my own talent or my worth or whatever. And I thought Billy kind of helped me with that. You know what I mean? I could lean on him. When you're not strong,
yeah,
and I'll be your friend.
Okay,
I'll help you carry on. Lean on me, said it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Oh, just a call on me, brother. I probably went on too long with that.
Head. When you need a head.
We all need. So, I loved working with, what were we talking about?
Tags versus singles.
Yeah, I was getting used to, I was getting more comfortable doing the singles. And it's about that time that my t-shirt sales and the toy, everything was doing really well, too, for the Road Dog character. So it helped my psyche and my ego. Like, oh, okay, you all like right. me. You really like me.
So here's where the spots are going to change. So let's get into details about that, because at this point, you look like you're going for the hardcore title. Billy's right. in the IC title run.
Right.
When do you guys find out? Is it presented to you? Was Billy upset about it? What do you remember about all that?
No, I don't remember anybody being upset about it, because I just remember Billy and I talking individually about, and I do not know if that sparked something or if somebody else, I don't remember how the conversation started above us, but I remember me and Billy saying, well, you got the wrong title. You know, this should be your title. This should be you, not me. And look, I still stand by that today. Like, the hardcore title was way more up my alley than it was up Billy's alley, if you ask me. Like, he's the IC title, and you're going to bring up something in a minute about the IC title, and that's more Billy too. You know what I mean? So it's, I don't know. We talked individually and personally about us having the wrong titles. I honestly don't know where it went from there. But it went fast. So,
let's get into it. The next Heat show in Bakersfield. And yes, this is when Sunday Night Heat would air live sometimes.
Yeah. But let me ask you a question, though, Cassio. You ever walk the streets of Bakersfield?
I have not. I've
drove
through it. Tell
me, you who shouldn't judge me. Say you care less how I feel. Okay, here we go. Dwight? Bakersfield.
Was that Yoakam?
I don't know. Yeah, Dwight.
This is how big, by the way, WWF was at that point with MTV. You're going live on a Sunday night. That's pretty strong right there. You team with Billy and losing 19 seconds to Val Venus.
Yeah. Well, Val's good. Val hit me with the big Valbolsky, and that'll take any man out of his shoes.
Well, of course, you losing in 19 seconds leads to you challenging Venus to an IC title match on Raw, while Billy challenges Holly to a hardcore title match, because losing a match in 19 seconds is clearly grounds for you being number one in line for the
number one contender. I mean, how do you book your wrestling
is
shows?
This a swerve for the sake of a swerve? What's happening? What do you remember here?
I don't nothing know. I think this was a mistake. This was a mistake in the making, but it went through anyway, and then shortly after they went like, yeah, we should have listened.
Well, at some point, you got to switch it. You might as well just do it and get it up with, maybe.
Right now. Why not?
The next night in San Jose, you win the IC title in 3 minutes, dog. The 3 minute man, baby.
Yeah, hey, but it's 3 minutes of excitement. You know what I mean? It was. Let's just incredible. Leave it at that. Continue.
Everybody's known that.
Look at my Buccaneers. I had a Buccaneers hat on. If you're watching, that's before their time.
Look at that chain, man. You got some chains. You got the silver dog tags.
I had all silver, dog. It was all silver, and then a Black Label Society, Zach Wilde's band.
Let's go.
Heck yeah.
By the way, you'll be able to see us over on adfreeshows.com watching the match back along with more
what
commentary.
Match?
Your IC title match. You can see us. Go to adfreeshows.com.
Or we're going to watch it like twice? Or is it just a three-minute video?
If they're watching this, it is out now. It's We're going to watch it, and then before and after, we're going to set it up, talk over it, do a little aftermath, and we're going to have some fun with you winning the
IC title. Hopefully, verbally, I can make it entertaining, since physically, I probably didn't.
I'll ask you if you like ranch ice cream again or something.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Perfect.
Would you rather? That is all on adfreeshows.com exclusively there. But needless to say, this has to be a fun moment. It's exciting for you to now be the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah. And look, it was like I think I was a little jaded by now, and I'd been a champion a couple of times, a tag champ and stuff. And so in retrospect, it wasn't as big a deal in the moment as it should have been. And I attribute that to drugs and alcohol. But looking back on it now, like, holy crap, man, that's awesome. I held the Intercontinental title. You know what I mean? I have a replica one that I was going to hang up in here, but I just haven't because I'm lazy.
Does that, for my naivete of the business, does that, you automatically, now you've got the belt, does that give you a bigger payday for WrestleMania, or does it stay this? Are you on the same deal?
My deal was about like they used to do the low end or whatever they called it. Yeah. So I would make above and beyond that. But they took care of me anyway. This is just how it happened. Like, it was my action figures and all the, my likeness and stuff was doing really well. And so I was producing for them. They paid you. You know what I mean? If you produce for them, they pay you well. And that's how it is.
The IC title has long been called the workers title. What'd you think about that?
Yeah, well, that's what I was talking about earlier. You see all these guys that can work all great, and then you see me. So it just seems like Billy looks better in among that group that you're seeing if you're watching by way of YouTube. It's Jeff Hardy and Bret Hart and Razor Ramon. Like, that's a workhorse crew there. Me on there just doesn't feel right. You know what I mean? And maybe that's just how I see myself. And that's not how it is, but I feel like I look better with the hardcore title. And if you don't agree, you look at this picture right here.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom. Look at that.
Hardcore title.
There's a celebration afterwards in the locker room with you and DX, and there's a small tease of you versus Billy. Did you know at this point the plan was to sort of break up DX?
We felt it, and we kind of knew.
Just felt right.
It did. It felt like, hey, it's time. And mind you, it wasn't that long. It didn't go that long. You know what I mean? It really didn't. But it had, some of the members had outgrown the group and needed. You know, some fish you got to put, they'll get as big as the tank will allow them. Yeah. And some of the fish in DX needed a bigger tank. You know what I mean? And so we'll probably talk about that here in a second.
You then would work with Shamrock in a singles match on Heat, defending the IC title, and Val interferes.
Oh, my God. Look at Ken Shamrock in that picture.
My goodness. He's chiseled, dude.
In stone and for real tough and can fight.
Hey, look at that. His nipples have a shadow. Look at that.
That's how big his chest is, bro.
It's sticking out that far. That's incredible.
He scares me to death.
So while we're on him, did you like working with Ken? What's your thoughts working with Ken Shamrock?
Look, I love Ken Shamrock. I did. I had great times with Ken Shamrock. I mean, honestly, I love the individual. Great times riding with him and Billy, sitting in the back and seeing them pull over from time to time, going to fight each other, and me just like rolling one in the back seat, stirring the pot. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like you guys beat the crap out of each other, and I'll be in the back seat if you need me. But yeah, love Ken Shamrock. Honestly, though, I said it a few seconds ago, terrifies me. Terrifies me because I'm not a tough man. I mean, I can handle myself. If I'm getting robbed, I'll say, don't take the girl. I'm watching 1893 or whatever it is, the prequel or whatever.
Tim McGraw?
Yeah, with Tim McGraw and Sam Elliott. Holy mackerel, I'm in love, man.
Johnny's daddy. Yeah. Taking him fishing.
I love that song.
After the three of you get into it, Gold Dust and Blue Meanie come out and attacks you.
Hey, now it's a party.
Was this a way just to get Dustin on the card for Mania? I know, Meanie's got his thing going. We are in Philly, so that makes sense for him. What's the thoughts on Gold Dust being brought into this?
I could totally see that. Hey, we've had a couple of characters that have been doing good this year that are in the running for this. Should we get them all in there in a Fatal 4-Way? And you know what I mean? Like, I can totally see that being the conversation. But I don't know the answer. He was welcome. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was a welcome addition.
Yeah, we're always good if he's involved.
I think so. Yeah.
Speaking of, talk about how cool is it? Is it surprising to see him still going and also in that teaching role where he's at now, man? Just passing that knowledge down.
Yeah. I love the human being, Dustin Rhodes, Dustin Runnels, whatever you want to call him. We call him Chicken. A lot of people call him a lot of different things. I love the human being. I've been around the world with him and been up and down some roads with him, some gravel, rocky roads and some smooth as silk. And I feel like that's where we're both at in our lives right now. Now, watching him still wrestle at the level that he performs at is amazing to me, but so is bit like Billy Gunn. Like, I feel like those two guys are enigmas, you know what I mean? Yeah. As far as, look, Jericho's, I don't know how old Jericho is, but he's still going too. And so, I guess if you stay busy and stay in ring shape, you could continue that. I'm in ring shape, like the shape of the hula hoop, like the ring, ring.
Octagon, you're in the shape of
Octagon. Yeah, so I won't be doing any of that, but it amazes me that Dustin can still do that. And look, we encourage each other in sobriety and stuff too, so I just love Gold Dust, man. And yeah, it doesn't blow me away that he's still doing it, because he's got that kind of determination and commitment.
Also, by the way, Jericho 51, Billy 59. How about that?
Okay.
How about that? By the way, Goldust and Meanie together, this seemed like they fit perfectly. By the way, shout out to Meanie, who listens to the show, and Mrs. Meanie, Tracy. Thank y'all for doing that.
So their names are Brian and Tracy, and that's me and my wife's name. And so
is it really?
Yeah, so we always have that with each other on Facebook and such.
Any good Gold Dust Meanie stories while we're here?
No.
They're both characters, man.
Yeah, no specific stories. Like
Blue
I said,
Meanie likes to fart. Do you ever remember him farting? He'll fart like in the drop of anything. He wants.
So, I do not. I do not remember that. But like I said, Gold Dust. I said it earlier, and Meanie's the same guy. Great, big-hearted dude. Great person. Him and his wife have a great relationship that I think is admirable. And they, they're huge Philly fan. I follow them on social media and live vicariously through them going to football games and stuff. So I don't have any stories about them. And any that I did have would be about Gold Dust, and they'd just be negative. You know what I mean? So ain't no reason to say that. You know what I mean?
Hey, we'll put the Gold Dust one on the schedule then.
You can go to my old house, but I don't live there. So.
Here we go. Yeah. All right, so as the storyline continues randomly out of nowhere, you and Billy face off on Raw March 22nd.
Hey, look at that high. If you're watching on YouTube, you are seeing what Gordon Soley would call a high hip toss.
Wow.
Because Billy, I would post, and Billy could get up in the air, man. And I was just long, and he was too, so it looked incredible. I don't remember the match, but I worked with him several times, and so – he was always really stiff and beat me up.
You guys, by the way, both do your shtick ahead of the match. And when Billy is done, he turns to you and says, it ain't personal. I know you said you wrestled him a few times, but yeah.
I'll tell you this much.
A little bit more build up to this.
Every time we wrestled, it felt personal. That's just how he feels. And I've said this for 30 years, the stiffest part of any tag match I had, even if I was working with Bradshaw and Ron Simmons, was the hot tag to Billy. He would literally almost break my hand every time. And it was just like, I'm just reaching for the tag, and he is ready to go then.
Can we toss up that picture again? You're looking mighty pale here, dog.
Yeah, no. This is when I
worked. Where's that him?
This is when I worked as Sheamus. No, I don't. It's just him. He's tan as a person who is tan.
You said you don't remember much, but from the torch, let's go to the recap. Early in the match, Billy blew a spot when Road Dogg held his arm out for an arm drag, but Billy fell flat on his face. Late in the match, Billy hit the rocker dropper on Road Dogg, but several of their respective WrestleMania opponents interfered. From the torch, not a very good match.
Yeah.
You said you don't remember about it. Do you remember anything about the blown spot or anything?
No. Listen, think about this for a second. This was 30 years ago in a build to WrestleMania, and Billy messed up a spot. Like, how important is that? Like, if I'm still today going like, oh, Billy, you know what I mean? Like, how could you miss the arm drag? Come on.
What did WrestleMania weekend entail for both of you back then? Was there a lot of autograph signings? Are you doing promo work? Are you doing radio interviews? What's happening?
All of the above. You know what I mean? And when they say the Intercontinental Champ is a workhorse, it has to do with more than just in-ring stuff. Because you may not get the champion to do everything, but you can get the IC champion because he's a star. But he ain't that bright. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He ain't shining that bright.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did you know the plan was to break up DX that night?
I didn't know it was that night until that day.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Anyone happy about it? Anyone mad about it? Like you said earlier, it just felt right.
Yeah. Honestly, everybody knew it was coming, and everybody was just like, okay, now, you know, now what are we doing tonight? Okay, cool. And look, others might have been more involved in the creative process. At this point, I was not, and I was back from rehab, so welcoming any creative decisions that were made and happy to be a part of it. You know what I mean?
With you going into Mania and DX breaking up, were you at the point where you worried about the future, or were you still, like you said before, hey, you were focused on paying bills, and let's get to the next week.
Yeah. I was just, let me do my job the best of my ability, and look, I'd already come to grips, too, with I'm going to have to do this alone, you know what I mean? And so let me go back to the drawing board here.
Billy loses the hardcore title in the opening match to Bob Holly with Al Snow involved. Did Billy have heat or something to go from the IC title program to losing the hardcore title in the opening match at Mania? Do you remember anything about that?
I don't think he had heat. I think this was just the first step in the process to reverse what had been done.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like a creative, it had to be done in a couple of beats. You know what I mean? This was the first beat. Okay, let's get the belt off of him, and we'll worry about what the next beat on TV.
I don't want you to speak for him, but do you remember anything about that time? Was he unhappy about it? Was he happy? Did y'all talk about that, or were you kind of focused on let's do our own thing?
I don't think so, because I think after that, and I'm horrible with my memory is horrible, but I think not long after that he was going up against The Rock and stuff, and you know what I mean, was having a pretty good little push there. So I don't think he was had heat or anything is my point.
All right, later on, here we go. You are fifth, and you retain the IC title in a four-way.
Yeah.
Over Shamrock, Goldust, and Val. Let's hear how the torch put it.
Okay.
The action was decent, and it was fast-paced. But aside from Road Dogg's dancing in the ring, nothing got much of a reaction.
Well,
there was nothing wrong with this match, but the lack of heat made it seem dead, and the weak finishes hurt as well. Venus and Goldust traded near falls, including Goldust kicking out of the Fisherman Suplex. Venus did the spot where he's dazed and fell head first into Goldust's groin. Shamrock DDT'd Goldust while Dog DDT's Venus. So they brawled out of the ring for a weak double countout finish. Shamrock hit both Goldust and Dog with a belly to belly. Brian Shamrock tried to low blow on Goldust, but somehow didn't hit it. Goldust hit Dog with a power slam, but in doing so, Dog maneuvered him into a small package for the
pin. I wish we had a video of that, because I actually, that finish looked really weird, but it kind of worked. Like it was a, I don't know. I just thought it would. I remember me and Dustin talking about it.
You remember it working in the moment.
Yeah, yes. And I remember watching it. I've seen it back before. I don't know when, but I know I've seen it back before. And it just looks weird, but it's into the finish. It's like he power slams me and we roll through into a small package. And so it's, I don't know. It looked weird, especially us two tall guys doing it.
You retained the IC title on a WrestleMania. You mentioned it a little bit before, but how big of a deal is it to you? Or like you said earlier, you probably didn't appreciate it for what it was at the time.
I definitely didn't appreciate it like I do now. But that, you know, that's the beauty of looking back on things is you can see clearly now that the rain is gone. And so it's the fog of war has lifted and I can look back and go, man, at WrestleMania, I retained the Intercontinental Champion. You know what I mean? Like that's, I don't know. I defended and retained the Intercontinental Championship. Yeah, that's pretty cool to me.
You said you and Dust liked the finish. Was there anything else? Anybody unhappy, happy? Do you remember talking about it afterwards?
Everybody, if everybody felt like we felt like it was decent. I mean, I know the Observer didn't give it too many stars, but we felt like it was good.
One and a half.
A decent moment for me personally. I don't know if they took that into consideration when they gave it that 1.5 star or how my feelings were going to be triggered and damaged by that.
Were you a fan of the elimination matches like this or just one fall to finish your four ways? What do you prefer?
Well,
do you have a preference?
I do not, and I'll tell you why. When you're, I didn't do a whole lot of them in my career, to be quite honest with you. But having written the SmackDown shows and stuff, I really did like utilizing a good gauntlet match, a six pack elimination or something where you can tell the stories to each finish. Now the negative to that is you have five stars, six stars in there. You've got to beat four of them. You know what I mean? So maybe you don't do all the eliminations and you just do one fall to a finish and you only have to beat one. You know what I mean? And so it's all kind of things go into the thought process of which way to do those matches. And so for me, it's always scenario driven and it's, you know, is it going to work on this show? Is it going to take, I remember we did one that took the whole hour of the show. And I don't remember which one it was, but it was awesome. You know what I mean? And the ratings did well.
So let's ask this, does it sour everything that night, when China rejoins DX by turning on Kane in this match with Hunter, but only for Hunter to attack Xbox later when he defends the European title against Shane McMahon, and Hunter and China are now in the corporation.
Hunter hates those Xboxes. You know what I mean? Every time he sees one, boy, he goes to town. I guess he's XP5 guy or whatever the other one's called.
He looks like a Nintendo Switch guy.
He's a Switch man.
What do you think about this night, about them now in the corporation?
Look, I thought it was, again, beats in the process, right? It's you gotta, so that's what that did, was separate both her and him from DX, but kept them together. You know what I mean? And so that's the direction they were going. That's where we're at. You know what I mean? So I and now they're part of the corporation, and you know what I mean? So it was,
you said earlier, there's now fish outgrowing the kind of pond you're in. This has to be one of them, is Hunter now moving into that higher role.
That's exactly who I was talking about. And look, it's a given. He was the guy that was, out of all of us, he was the guy that was going to be the guy. I think you'd get an argument out of Billy for me saying that. And he's right in his beliefs. He didn't get the chance, but I knew Hunter was gonna outgrow the team. You know what I mean? And it was kind of that way by design, I think, from the get go. Was to put him as the leader of this team, and then he gets bigger, and then as a talent, you have to outgrow the team, or else you're not growing. You know what I mean? And so, whether I liked it or not, it was my insecurities that didn't want to go it alone. You know what I mean? It was easier with the gang, man. It's power and the numbers.
Well, you've hit on it a little bit. But I do want to just kind of just sum it up. What did you think about your future at this point? We've let the dust settle. WrestleMania is now over. Hunter and China are now the corporation. DX has broke up, and now you've got the IC title in your hands. What did you think about your future at this point, and what did you know going forward at this point?
Well, I didn't know a whole lot, but what I did know was, okay, I'm back out of rehab, and they trust me to put the Intercontinental title on me. And look, some say that's a mid-card title or whatever, and okay, if you want to put it in a box, put it in that box. I'm fine with that. But they're right. That guy has to work. That guy has to main event shows sometimes. That guy has to – so it is a workhorse title. If anything, though I didn't think I was wearing the right title, it's a huge pat on the back and shot in the arm that they trusted me enough to put that title on me. So that still blows my mind to this day. Maybe they saw something in me I didn't see in myself.
Before we get to fan questions, Dog, I want to ask you this. To begin the journey on the road to WrestleMania by being in rehab, and now you end up winning the IC title and keeping it at WrestleMania, that's got to be faith in yourself, faith in the system, faith that everybody's looking out for your best interest.
Well, I'm going to be honest. It was it had to have been my mother's faith because I believe in generational blessings. Excuse me, generational blessings. And people, like I said before, I guess people believed in me. People had faith in me even when I didn't have it in myself. Truth be told, I didn't know not to have it in myself. So I probably had so much confidence that it was borderline cocky and arrogant and egotistical and all the above. But I don't know, man. They made me the Intercontinental Champion. And like I said earlier, that's a lot of trust to put in me. Yeah. And I could never thank them enough for putting that trust in me. I probably didn't deserve it, and I probably didn't earn it, and I probably didn't warrant it post title reign. But thank you. Thank you for having faith in me.
Before we get to the fan questions, Dog, let's tell everybody about our buddy, Conrad Thompson, and how he can save you some change, man. Have faith in our buddy Conrad.
As an adult, don't we all miss spring break? Nothing like taking a week off from all your responsibilities. Well, here's the next best thing for adults, a spring break from house payments. SaveWithConrad.com can help you get rid of all your credit card debt just like that. We're routinely helping our listeners save $500, $600, $700, even $800 a month. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this, but check this out, no house payments for 2 months at SaveWithConrad.com.
All right, Dog, let's get to the fan questions. We'll start with one of our favorite Pod Pound interactors here, Yambag Jones.
Oh, Yambag.
Yambag,
where you been? Gone round world, gonna go again. Yambag. Sorry. Where'd you pole going down there to the fishing hole? Yambag, what you doing? You back there? I don't know.
Bret Hart defeated Mr. Perfect to win the IC title at SummerSlam 91.
What a match.
How does it feel to not only be better sports entertainer than Brett, but to also be three times the IC champ he was ever since you beat three guys?
Yeah.
His one. Yeah. Game, set, match, dog.
Dog. Yeah, well, let me tell you something about this, Yambag. You're 100% right. Thank you for bringing that forward. I'm especially glad the youngsters were here to hear that authentic frontier gibberish. Look at it.
Authentic frontier gibberish.
If you're a Blazing Saddles fan, you know that.
So good.
From. Most of my stuff is basically just bit straight from movies of my childhood. And I'm okay with that. I guess the 11 people listening are okay with it.
We're all okay. At Cutter Nonstop says, ooh, Dog.
That's got to be Cody Rhodes' burner account.
But C-U-D-D-E-R.
Oh.
It might be C udder, like, you know, like a cow's.
Oh, teeth. Like a cow's udders.
Yeah, like it might be that. C udder like nonstop. Cow udder, you know that
one. C udder.
C udder. He says, what did you do after the show in Philadelphia? Do you remember? And by the way, he said, in his opinion, Jim's is greater than Gino's cheesesteaks.
Okay. Okay, I hear you.
Okay.
I hear you. And I'm not going to argue that because I... Excuse me. I get nauseous just thinking.
The D'Angelo Dirtbag Brothers who help us out in the production meeting over here are really echoing that.
But they agree. They agree, yeah. Right? So, Jim, look, that's three. Did I say something different, by
the
way?
You haven't said anything. No, you haven't.
I haven't gone in, but I know I've had Geno's before delivered to the building.
Okay.
But if you ask me, and somebody from Philly's really going to love this, Subway's got the best steak and cheese.
Oh, God.
I'm just kidding. But however, I did just eat a tuna sandwich from Subway.
How about this? I've never had a Philly cheesesteak from Philly.
Okay. Well, that's different.
Love Philly cheesesteaks.
Yeah. Well, both of them are good. I mean, that's all there is to it. They're the originals. They're the OGs. But so what did I do after the show? I literally left early and was back in my hotel room to watch the last segment while I lay fat-bellied and horizontal on my hotel room bed.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah.
Back to the room before the show's even over.
Bro.
Love it.
I'm finally found some balance in my life after 30 years of wrestling. I finally found some balance. And even if it's just to sit in my own space by myself for a minute, it helps my headspace. And it helps me balance out, like I said, my social and professional life, you know.
AFS top guy, Bobby KF5.
GTA. Bobby K, coming to you live from Austin. City Limits.
He says, oh, Austin City Limits, great show. He says, how much planning was needed to coordinate with three other wrestlers? Were there any egos involved? Any egos a factor in this match, dog?
You know what? The truth of it is, you would have, and I don't know why this is the case, but you would have so many egos in this same Fatal 4-Way today. But back then, there were, like, I don't know, it was everybody checked everybody. Like it was, you weren't allowed to have an ego. And if you had an ego, you better have your own locker room. You know what I mean? Because everybody played rough and I'm talking, there were fights back then. We didn't allow everybody to have an ego. Your feet are on the ground with mine, bro. And we're going to get through this together. And that's the only way we're going to get through it, you know? And so it's, I don't know. It was a little different, and there would be some scraps in the locker room and the airport, and you know what I mean. Like people get out of line, we kind of policed each other, and sometimes it led to it blinded me with violence.
And plus, you were scared of Ken Shamrock.
Scared to ego death. With him.
Wrestling Match Study Podcast says, "Dog, thoughts on WWE doing WrestleMania 40 in Philly? Almost 25 years." From 1999 to 2024. How about that?
Well, it's awesome. You know what I mean? And it's what's awesome about it is we're getting back to that. We're going to do this premium live event over in the UK. And it feels like we're going back to places and doing big things for places that appreciate it and places that always show their appreciation, financially, you know what I mean? Throughout the revenue at the ticket box, at the box office. So yeah, it's really cool to be going back to Philly. They deserve it and they're going to love it. You know,
I was about to say testament to Philly on 25 years later, still being a premier wrestling town. For
yeah,
you guys.
That, 100%.
That speaks to the fandom.
Yeah.
Will0404107. He says, "Dog, did you enjoy this little stint as a singles competitor? And how would you compare it in terms of preference to your legendary tag matches?" Thanks. We hit on a little bit, but
yeah.
Just sum it up. What did you enjoy this stint?
So I enjoyed the hardcore title stint because, look, I don't see myself as this, and I don't think I am, this great wrestler. So what the hardcore title let me do was kind of minimize my weaknesses and maximize my strengths in I'm long, I'm lean, I can swing stuff at you, I don't mind you swinging stuff at me, and it was more up my alley. And so I just felt like I was more creative in the match, in constructing the match. And so, I don't know, it was just... look, even today, people, wrestlers will tell you, oh, yeah, give me a street fight any day. We don't have to work so hard then. You know what I mean? Like it's just the truth of it. Things may sting and you may get a blister on your little finger. But you may get your teeth knocked out. You may get your eye punctured. But it's really fun, too.
Pat Walsh, he hit us up on ad-free shows. He said Pat Walsh.
Walsh Carpeting.
Did he do America's Most Wanted or what? Was that mm-hmm. Pat Walsh?
Yep. Christopher Wallace.
John Walsh. Okay, sorry.
But it's his brother, Pat.
He says, do you remember anything from the WrestleMania Rage Party the night before this year? The whole thing is on YouTube and it's pretty hysterical, he said.
Was I at it? Because if it's on YouTube and I was at it, I owe everyone an apology.
That
including,
might be...
Including John Walsh.
Everyone an apology. Might be a bonus show sometime. Yeah, we might have to watch the WrestleMania Rage Party.
I can't ever remember going to one.
You were at some Rage Parties.
Have been to some Rage Parties. Right. And some really weird motorcycle clubs, too, in Chicago with... Mike Hegstrom.
Matt M says, what was the backstage reaction of the hanging of Boss Man?
Ooh. I don't remember. I do remember being a full fledged drug addict, yet on my high horse about when they crucified somebody or whatever.
Oh, sure.
I can't believe they did that. hold on, I need to bang some new bane. Good judge of character, Brian.
Adam Arpin says, what did Vince McMahon think of Isaac Hayes' performance of Chocolate Salty Balls at the WrestleMania Rage Party?
I don't know, but I'm sure that's the only reason he was brought there was to sing Salty Balls.
If he's performing, we have got to watch this Rage Party.
Yeah, that YouTube thing's got to be blowing up.
He said also this was Gorilla Monsoon's final TV appearance. Do you have any good Gorilla Monsoon stories you can share?
No. He yelled at me one time. He yelled at me and made me feel really uncomfortable when I was new. And it was because he knew X-Pac and he didn't know me, and X-Pac got hurt in a match with me. So he just yelled at me about it. Okay. And I was like, okay. Sorry, sir.
Okay. Sorry, see you at the Rage Party in a few years. Liam Evans wants to know, how did you react when Butterbean put Bart Gunn to sleep?
Ooh.
Do you think you could take a stiff one from either of them?
Well, yes, I think I could. Would I want to? Hell no. Not from either one of them, not even a left. You know what I mean? But Butterbean, look, one thing we did not take into account at that time, Butterbean was a trained professional boxer. You know what I mean? And so we did not... I don't know what Bart was doing as far as training. And you know what I mean? I have no idea. But I know he got in the ring with a professional boxer and got knocked out. I know he got in the ring with a bunch of other pro wrestlers and whooped all their asses. So I ain't saying nothing about neither one of them.
Eros says, if you could have had a high production WrestleMania with any song you wanted, what would you have been your dream entrance and song? So he wants to know, you got the high production like you do guys do now,
yeah,
Mania.
Yeah, like my entrance.
What song would you pick?
Man.
Oh, that's tough.
Honestly, I think I would, I mean, I guess he's saying, could I purchase a copywritten song? But I kind of like the New Age Outlaw music.
Kind of hit every time.
It kind of hits and it kind of goes with my entrance. But, like, I don't know. There's some good stuff out there. Like, maybe Flirting with Disaster.
Oh.
Or no. What's the train? In a train. Take me on.
Blackfoot. Blackfoot,
maybe that. Yeah, I don't know. That one rocks a little bit. Like, yes. That's what I want is some southern rock and harmonica.
I thought you were doing Train Drops of Jupiter in Her Hair.
I was doing Come On Ride That Train and Ride It. Come On Ride That Train. It's a choo-choo train. That was in Memphis when I wrestled, that was my entrance music, and I'm not kidding.
Was it really?
Come on, ride this train.
Oh.
Go ride it. But in Louisville, I had different. I came out to
1990 Quad.
No, it was.
What artist?
Molly Hatchet. Molly, I can't remember. I can't remember if it was that one or if there's another one that.
What was the other one? Swamp Boogie or something like that.
I got a boogie. Which nostril?
Did they have didn't they have like the alligator jam or something? What song do they have?
I don't know. Stop yelling at me.
It had to be for it when disaster, right?
It might have. No, I feel like that's too slow.
Really? Gator Country.
This was down to down to down to down. This was
Boogie
like,
No More. Down.
I can't remember which song it is, so stop asking.
We're going to figure it out before next try. Green Grass and High Tides. No, that was The Outlaws. Another great song, though.
Oh, really?
Green Grass and High Tides Forever. You remember? You don't remember that one?
I don't remember that.
Oh, my gosh. Listen to that post show. You're being your own rage party later tonight. You will be jamming. Well, dog, look. This was a fun one, man.
Are we done?
Yeah, we're done, brother.
Well, let's just me and you talk for a second.
Well, look, guess who we're going to talk to next week? I'm excited. I know you're excited. We have another special guest.
I have no idea who you're talking
about. Former referee, wrestler.
Oh, Charles Robinson.
No, not Baby Flair. Nick Patrick, my friend.
Nick Patrick. I was kidding.
Nick Patrick.
Hey, and I'm going to be honest with you. Haven't talked to Nick Patrick in a decade. And not kidding. And this is a man that I lived with for almost a year with his family. Like that's where how close we were. And we were in a band together. There's so much history between myself and Nick Patrick. So many cool stories. And we haven't told them in a decade at least. So it's gonna be fun for me. If you don't like it, you know.
If you are a member of Ad Free Shows, you need to check it out. I'm doing the bi-weekly mailbag with Nick Patrick where everybody can ask him questions.
Oh, the bi-mailbag?
It's bi-weekly.
My bad.
I don't know. There's both of us involved. I haven't asked him. I know you go
country and western.
Yeah, we go both ways. But when I mentioned to him, hey, would you come chat with Dog? He almost had the same reaction. He said, man, I would love to, and I can't believe it's been so long since I've talked to him.
Yeah.
Because at one point, y'all were all over this country together, my friend.
Together. We got some great stories I can't wait to tell.
We did not forget, before we wrap up, we're going to do Top Dog and our Thankful Minute before
Top
we get out
of
here.
Top Dog and a Thankful Minute. But, I've got a car. I want you to jump in.
By the way, over at Ad Free Shows, since we brought it up, you get early ad-free access to Oh You Didn't Know and a dozen of your favorite wrestling podcasts. Starting at just $9. Hey, we just did our first live recording over there. You can watch.
Yeah, we sure
us
did.
Record.
And this was episode 50.
What? Now you can enjoy the first week with us completely free. Sign up for a free trial and get a taste of what Ad Free Shows is all about. Start your free trial today at adfreeshows.com, where you can see this show early and ad-free. You can also see the mailbag with Nick Patrick. That is a exclusive as well. And if you haven't listened, on St. Patrick's Day last week, Ad-Free Shows dropped 7 pieces of bonus content.
Holy
the lucky
mackerel.
7. And one of those was the Oh You Didn't Know exclusive, looking back at your IC title win.
Oh, man, that was on Val. No wonder everybody was drunk that day.
Yeah, it was
fun.
Like,
give them a bunch of new content.
Plus in the Lucky 7, Eric Bischoff, Kevin Nash, Ask Conrad Anything, and a whole lot more. Check it out now at adfreeshows.com. Also, if your business targets 25 to 54-year-old men, there is no place to better advertise than right here.
Right here.
Oh, you didn't know. You've heard us do ads for some of the same companies for years. Why? Because it works. And with our super targeted audience, there's very little waste. Go to Advertise with Dog. That's advertisewithdogg.com now and find out more about advertising with us. We would love to get the word out about your product.
I would love that personally. From a personal standpoint, I would love that.
Follow us on Twitter at Brian R.D. James, at The Casio Kid. The show is at You Didn't Know Pod.
Yep.
Go to Box of Gimmicks to get all of our latest merchandise. Marcus, our producer, I don't know if you've got anything ready, but if you've got any of our merch picture ready, you can throw that up. All of that is at exclusively at boxofgimmicks.com. That's where you can get the Fergal McDivitt shirt. You can get that. Oh, I'm a Fergal McDivitt guy. He fears no man. He is Fergal McDivitt. So you can get that all.
That's a good shirt right there.
At boxofgimmicks.com. And, of course, on YouTube, we thanks everybody for watching our beautiful faces there.
Yes.
Like and subscribe. Leave a comment. Let us know what you thought about it. Let us know if you have any other questions about WrestleMania 15. We'll try to address those later. Be sure you turn on notifications at youtube.com/DOGG. Dog, before we get out of here, though, we do not take it for granted. We've got two things we've got to do.
Okay.
The segment, the Sweeping the Nation Top Dog, where we give you three sports entertainers. You tell us, what, are you a better?
What nation is it sweeping?
America.
I
heard it's
this
America.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard it was. I haven't seen the numbers. But
somebody just said it and you heard it. Good.
We're going to give you three names. You tell us, are you a better sports entertainer than these?
Did you just see the list?
Yes, and it's amazing.
Good.
You have not seen the list. That's the best part about Dog.
No, I have not seen the list.
He has not seen these until we say them. Here we go. Top Dog, are you a better sports entertainer than Doink? Matt Bourne.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. My man's got some taco meat on that chest, brother. That is some hair. Yeah, son.
He's a tough man, too.
Definitive yes there.
Definitive yes. Hey, look, he was great. He was great as Doink. He was a great scrappy grappler. I thought he was the best at Doink. But I think there's a ceiling on Doink. You know what I
okay.
mean?
Okay. Number two, Hillbilly Jim.
Oh, man. Now, I don't know about that. This is our first tie.
Is it?
This is our first tie. Now, granted, I think I could wrestle better than him.
Okay.
So that's that's a whole different category.
It this is a person I can actually. Much.
No, I've never said it, I don't think. But I think I can wrestle better than him. But his shoulders and lats.
Look at that.
Were incredibly wide comparatively to his narrow hips and waist.
Now doing radio shows, he's still killing it out there.
He's he owns gentlemen's clubs in 74 states across America.
Does he really?
No, but if you see him, you'll think he does, like with all the gold and the,
And last but not least, boy, I can't wait to hear this.
Oh, God.
Are you a better sports entertainer than New Jack?
Oh.
I can't wait to see if you get murdered here.
literally, right?
Yeah, like a shoot murder, yeah.
So, yes, I think I'm better sports entertainer than New Jack. And
you see all those signs in that buggy? They're all coming to hit you.
Yeah, they're coming. They're going to hit me for a shoot. Hey, so I broke in with New Jack in North Georgia Championship Wrestling when I got out of the Marine Corps. He was just starting out. I was just starting out, and I was doing jobs for WCW on Tuesday nights or whatever, but on the weekends, me and him would work in Rome, Georgia, with Glenn Gilberti, by the way, Disco Inferno.
Yeah.
And this was early on. He was actually... Glenn Gilbernetti at the time was his wrestling name. And so, but we all kind of broke in at the same time. And me and New Jack wrestled a bunch very early on before he ever got huge in ECW and Smoky Mountain stuff. And I saw the thing where he passed away and everything. And I felt bad for him, you live like that for a long time, you're going to, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I just feel like if I would have, I'd be gone now too, if I would have kept on living the way I was living. So I'm sorry for New Jack, but like, this took a turn. Let me
turn it back. My man could get some heat. You saw him up close and personal.
I saw him in Smoky Mountain. I saw
nuclear
him in ECW.
Heat.
Nuclear heat. And heat that would actually work really well again today, right today. You know what I mean? Like right in today's, but he'd probably be a babyface today with it. But it's, you know, it is what it is. He utilized what he did. I think a lot of things he did are questionable. The stabbing, the throwing the kid off the,
sure.
You know what I mean? A lot of those things are like
story
crazy.
Career.
Yeah, to say the least. But when I think about like, you know, and look, a lot of things go into this.
Did you always get along with him?
Always. It was, and it really was like my family and him in Smoky Mountain, me and him when we first broke in, me and him in ECW when we would cross paths. Like it was, yeah, always got along with him. But I think I'm a better sports entertainer.
And but all right, before, so we got two wins and a tie this week. That's a good run for you.
Yeah.
We'll get a running list and the counter going by the next one.
Yeah.
We got to see your stats. But before we get out of here, this is last but definitely not least. We always want to encourage spreading positivity, especially on social media with everything negative these days. So we started doing the Thankful Minute, and dog, that is where we let you have 60 seconds to be thankful for anything going on in your life right now. Dog, the floor is yours. We'll throw the timer up on the screen. 60 seconds to tell us what you are thankful for now.
So I was in up north last week in Connecticut, in Stamford, and there was a bad storm up above there. It kind of backed up the travel. So I was going Wednesday to catch my flight to go out. I was leaving at 4 p.m. It got delayed. It finally got delayed where I wasn't going to make my connection in DC to get home. And so I kind of thought, man. And so I walked downstairs to walk in a different place, and I heard Washington Reagan boarding. So I went over there and I said, hey, this isn't my flight. I was supposed to be on that one, but I'm going to miss my connection. She went bing, bang, boom, put me on that flight. I walked right in. They closed the door behind me. I sat in the first two seats that were huge. Nobody sat beside me. I got there. I was there an hour and a half. I found a great steak restaurant in DC and ate there. I got on my flight home and got landed at 10 minutes prior to what I was supposed to. My bag didn't make it because it was still on the other flight. I made it home. Thank you, God.
Hey, look. With as much negative as people talk about traveling these days,
well, look,
it's unsung when they finally take care of you.
When it finally, when you look, I was sitting in that LaGuardia airport. I had checked out of my hotel. I had my car service brought me over to the hotel now, or to the LGA. Now I'm sitting in LGA, and I'm going to spend the night in there because I'm not, or I'm either going to spend the night here, or I'm going to spend the night in DC in an airport. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I literally just, and I mean, I sat down and ate because I saw my flights delayed. I just was eating. I was relaxing. I walked downstairs just because I was going to get like a Gatorade and some gummy Lifesavers or something. You know what I mean? And just sit down and be fat. And so I walked down there and I hear that and I look over there and I literally, the lady goes, bing, bang, boom, go right there. I walk on, the door closes behind me. We go right to DC. And I was just like, I don't even know, you know, and to me, that's, I knew my bag wasn't going to make it and all that, but I went back today and there sat my bag when I got to the airport. Like, I don't know. God is good. I see God in a lot of positive stuff. And when I see stuff like that happen, I give him thanks right away because people can say coincidences and this and that. But man, I had said, God, if it's your will to get me home today. And I say that all the time. Like, I hope it's your will. And if it's your will, and I pray I accept it. You know what I mean? Because that can be another thing. I want God's will to be done because it will be done anyway. And you can swim upstream or kick against the pricks if you want to, but it'll be done. So now the problem is, okay, it'll be done. Can I accept that? And of course I have to.
Yeah.
But do I? You know what I mean? Am I gonna swallow it down like a cactus, or is it gonna be okay? That's what's supposed to happen. And this is, and look, I've also sat through a lot of delayed flights and go, I really want to be home right now, but this is where I'm supposed to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I don't know.
That's where the faith part comes in there.
Yes, it is. It is. And so then when the thing happens that you know is very rare, and it happens, and it comes through, somebody who travels a lot knows how this feels, and you go, oh my Lord, I made it. Thank you, God. Yeah, I just want to thank God. And if it was Delta Airlines that did it, well, God made the man who runs Delta Airlines. So that's my take, and I'm sticking to it.
Dog, great stuff today, man. Going back down memory lane, the IC title. I'm glad that you realize how big of a moment it is now. That's a good thing to appreciate it.
I would like for you to realize it too, and just just praise me a lot. Coming up.
I don't bring it up enough, and I will change that.
Just from now on, if you would, please.
And I look forward to next week, man, getting to talk to your old buddy, Dick Patrick. Going to be fun. Nick.
I'm excited.
I'm glad to be a fly on the wall on that one, and we're going to have some fun with that. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Like, subscribe, leave us a comment, interact with us on social media, on YouTube, the whole deal. We appreciate it. And if you didn't like this trip down memory lane, we got two words for you.
Suck it.